Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with my main man with a plan, Captain Jack Barry. Jack, I am doing much better.
I can kind of hear it.
Much better.
Kind of hear it in your voice, yeah.
It has been a horrendous 3 weeks of sickness. And oh goodness gracious, influenza, don't mess with it. There's a reason, I guess, influenza was like a big deal back in the day. Like, I understand without the proper medications, you know, it'd be a lot. It'd be stink. A lot worse.
I saw some pictures of the Spanish flu when it was like a big deal in, like, what was that, like 1918, 1920,
something like that.
And they were like doing basically everything we were doing, like, during COVID. Except, like, I thought it was funny. Like, there was pictures I saw, black and white pictures of, like, people getting, like, haircuts. They took all their barber chairs and they, like, put them out in, like, like, outside. And they were just, like, keep on going.
Dude, and I love that that is, like, the constant, because it was the exact same thing during COVID. Yeah. Like, you can bet on, like, hell or high water, snow or sleet, the barber's out there still grinding.
Yeah.
Like, the barber's out there still getting their cheddar. It's hilarious. Yeah, because I remember during COVID, I was getting my hair cut in my barber's apartment. He was just like, dude, here's where I live. Like, roll up. I'm like, okay. I'm just in his living room watching the Joe Rogan Experience on his, like, 70-inch TV.
Oh, wow.
Getting my hair cut. I'm like, this is a trip, man.
There was, I think...
barbers.
Sometime I feel like right around that time period, my beard was like the hardest thing to keep up on.
Yeah, sure.
It wasn't so much like I could let my hair grow out and kind of do whatever, but like my beard was the toughest. And my
buddy, gotta keep it trim.
My buddy Daniel, we would go over to his place. They moved recently, but we would go over to his old place and he would trim my beard.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, I mean, to the extent of you had to have something, you know, like,
well, the world
make it happen.
Just crazy stupid back then. So
we did. You know,
we did. Jack, my friend, how was your Lord's Day?
It was quite jam packed. So
ours was too.
We have now it's a kind of Bible. It's kind of Baptist-y, to be quite honest. This is actually like really on brand for us, but we have a Bible study / potluck that happens every other week, and it started yesterday. And so we're going through Genesis, and we thought, so most of the, like, this idea came from my community group. So I have one of the deacons is in my community group, as well as like other guys who have been through the same program I've been through, called Pastors and Leaders Institute at my local church. And we were thinking like, oh, we're going to have this like underground Bible study. It's going to be maybe like 10, 15 people. Not, you know, we'll have dinner. Not going to be like a huge affair. Dude, I kid you not. I show up and this thing is beaming, dude.
It's word like, got out, huh?
Yeah. Well, we were pressing it a lot. I mean, the church was, but we like, you know how like something you have like an idea of what it might be and you're like, eh, uh-huh. it's whatever. It's going to be low key. And then it blows up.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
you're like, okay, sure. This was way more than I expected. This is something yeah. that's like actually needed.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a full on straight up like potluck.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And though. A lot of people, I would say at least 20 to 25 adults. And then plus like some of those adults, like I had my son there. Some other folks had their kids there as well too. So we just went through the creation narrative, really yeah. going through like a deep dive biblical theology and okay, the cosmology of the Israelites at the time is right. not the same cosmology. So cosmology meaning like their understanding of the universe and just their surroundings and environment is not the same as ours. Hmm. Like they were just thinking, like they don't have the conception of planets and all of the discoveries that we have today. They have the land, the air, the sea, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They have a concept of the heavens and what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And that was actually cool because one of the deacons who was teaching actually showed us a graph, a little picture of the cosmology of ancient Israel, which is like the floodgates. If you see it, like the mountains are actually part of the heavens, or at least it stretches to. And then there's the floodgates that hold back yeah, the waters.
I'm stretching way back to school here. Aren't there like three different heavens?
There's
the sky, mm-hmm. right? Like, and then there's like where the planets are, and then the heavens where God dwells.
I would say that's a more modern conception.
Okay,
I would say
maybe I'm attributing that to something else.
The ancient Israelites would say like the moon and the stars are definitely mm. part of the heavens, like the sky is. And then there's the waters above that actually there's okay. the floodgates
right.
that are
right.
holding back the waters above. And yeah. then there's even heavens beyond the floodgates or the
yeah.
or the oceans above. So it's kind of looks like a little bubble right. and it's graphed out. And then it shows the columns of the earth and then Sheol down there as well, too. And a whole bunch of stuff like that. So it was yeah. it was awesome. Really cool to talk through that. And even talk about the creation narrative almost being similar to how God is building a temple for himself mm-hmm. and he dwells in that temple on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And that goes against a lot of what the polytheistic religions and cultures sure. were thinking, because they believe that their gods came out of the seas and create right. and then we had to create temples for them. So yeah. there's a lot of good deep dive stuff into cool. that, into some key words as well too. And then we're going into Image of God next time. So it's not this coming Lord's Day, it's the next one. So it's like every other week kind of planned out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not too overwhelming.
Neat.
So we had that. And then Lord's Day service we're going into Romans 8.
Here we go.
The whole
buckle up.
Like
buckle up, buttercup.
A verse or two at a time. So we went.
You gotta.
So we went through yeah. verses 1 and 2, and I read the text before one of my pastors preached,
mm-hmm.
and it was really good. Talking about what does condemnation mean? What are the implications of us now not having any condemnation?
Yeah.
Even going back and showing why do we have a there is now therefore no. condemnation. So going back to even into chapter 7 mm-hmm. and getting into what Paul was talking about as well too, about the human condition.
Yep.
So yeah, it was a very jam-packed sermon of good yeah. like biblical like content, even talking about justification. We mm-hmm. we had been talking about justification a lot in my pastors and leaders group too.
That's awesome,
just what
dude.
That means. So A lot of good stuff, sir.
Full Sunday. Yeah, so, ours was full too. We
did you guys have the new liturgy stuff now too?
So yeah, so it is progressing, right? So we just we just installed the Lord's Supper every Sunday, which is something that this current elder team has been wanting to do for a while. And we're a young church, right? So it takes time changing those things. Yep. So that's obviously been our conviction forever. But, you know, when you're leading a church, right, you want to make sure that it is what does Dever say? You overestimate the things you can do in a year. And you underestimate the things that you can do in five, right? I've always liked that. But so Lord's Supper every Sunday, awesome. Like the way it should be.
Yeah.
It honestly is. It is the way that it should be. It's the way that it is intended. And such blessing comes from that. I wrote up a little booklet on the confession of sin and assurance of pardon aspects of liturgy that we put out to our people. Mm-hmm. We're going to let them chew on that for a little bit, and then hopefully here in a month or two, install that. Going to bring in a reading of the law aspect of it. So we're moving piece by piece to a full blown liturgical service, which I am so excited for. It's really awesome. We had our members meeting, which was good. This is actually something I kind of wanted to talk about. This is going to lead into kind of what I was thinking to talk about today. A couple members meetings ago, we installed a new aspect into the meeting where we have a time slot dedicated to what we call evidences of grace.
Yeah.
And I love this time slot because basically what it is, this is an opportunity that we intentionally place in the members meeting for any of the members to share some evidences of God's grace in their life, in the life of the church, things that they are seeing. Basically a time for us to share with each other, this is what God's been doing in my life, in our lives. This is evidences that I've seen in our local church that I'm really thankful for. And it's basically just a time set aside to praise God and to acknowledge some really great things that he's doing. And dude, that is quickly turning into probably my favorite time of the members' meetings.
Yeah.
Just hearing how the Lord is working, not only just in the lives of our people, but how he's doing that through other people, how I'm seeing the life of the body.
Yeah.
Practically work itself out. And I'm hearing about these evidences of grace and the way that God is working in people's lives. And it's hardly ever without a mention of, and you know, this group in our church that I'm going to, or this family, or this person. And I absolutely love it. And it's something that it's like, it has caused me to kind of think that type of mentality, again, I know that it's kind of cliche, I think, for us in the Reformed world to kind of be the stodgy, grumpy people, right? Like, we've got our resting Baptist face and we're the frozen chosen, right? Like, you can tell how joyful we are in service because our scowl will be just massive, right? But it has got me to think how much, like, just personally, I don't want to be known as the grumpy guy.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that there's such, I think part of the aversion possibly is because we see an overemphasis of emotion and you know, good vibes, good feelings from perhaps churches or individuals that we would not consider to be theologically sound, right? Obviously, the farther away you move from scripture, the more emphasis you're going to place on personal experience, personal feelings, and all those things. Not that those things are in and of themselves bad, like God gave us those things, but they're not the barometer of truth, right? And they're not the thing that we should be putting stock into to define what is right, what is wrong, and how we should put into practice the things that God tells us to do, especially in the local church, right? That's not the barometer you're using. But I really do think that because of that mentality, we have trouble, and I use we as the general, you know, Calvinistic reformed individuals who take doctrine very seriously, right? Mm. And take practice of that doctrine very seriously. I think we struggle with pendulum swinging so far away from what we don't want to be that we turn into the antithesis of it, which again, I don't think is healthy.
Yeah.
Right. I think we avoid the ditch so far that we just run into the other ditch. Right. Yeah. And something that I've really been thinking about, man, is like, I truly do want there to be more emphasis placed on joy. And not only experiencing, but sharing that joy with our brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know that that's like a, probably some people listening, they're like, well, yeah, duh. Like, of course, like, of course we're supposed to be joyful. And I get that. But the reason I bring it up is because often when you hang around Reformed folk, I'm often struck that we aren't known more for our joy than we should be.
Oh yeah.
Right. And that's just something that I've really kind of been thinking about, especially as we kind of integrate that evidences of grace portion into our membership, is I want to be known as the guy, as the pastor who is constantly bringing those things up and constantly pointing to those things. Because I do think that we can tend to have a default of the opposite.
Yeah.
Right? Of getting stodgy and grumpy and pointing out the things that are wrong. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Cynicism and pointing out the things that are wrong with the world or wrong with the church or wrong with, you know, things in our own membership. You know, all of which are important to talk about and call out, but I think we should be a people where that is not the majority.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the majority of what we dwell on and think of should be the ways that the Lord is working and the good things that he is doing. Mm-hmm. Because I think that provides us a correct mentality to then deal with the hard stuff and the wrong stuff. But so often, like, all I hear and all I see, and this is a guard of my own heart too, I got to be careful of this, is such a focus on the negative, mm-hmm. such a focus on things that we don't like, that we think is wrong. And I think when you have that mentality and that's just kind of your default, it affects your soul.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I think our culture thrives off of that too. Like we can't be content.
Right.
We have to thrive off of,
we thrive judging, on controversy,
judging, yeah. controversy. Yep. This person's not doing what I want them to do. This politician, yeah. these people, this government, they're not doing the right thing. We mm-hmm. need to go out there. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just, there's a couple people that I know that have left the faith and their new religion is basically this, like, let's go out there and just protest about all these things that are going on all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, let's protest Amazon. Let's not buy anything for 24 hours. I'm like, good luck with that. I don't know. It's just like, I feel like a lot of people, to certain respects, like, came out of COVID and their new religion is solely focused on, I guess, like, a new, how can I say this? Maybe a new prioritization of materialism. It's a form of materialism.
Sure.
It's just maybe like a cynical view of materialism, because they don't have, at least they're rejecting a spiritual aspect, spiritual religious aspect of it. So, yeah, I think in our day, outrage is the norm. To be offended, to be downcast, to be outraged, I think is kind of the new norm. To have joy or to be happy or to keep going on through life in a very just like, I know stuff around me stinks, but so what? Mm-hmm. I think that has become a new differentiator in some of the ways that we witness Jesus to people around us. So, yeah, I can understand that. I think that depending on where you're at, I feel like in our culture in the Pacific Northwest, that can be a big differentiating factor.
Yeah.
For your witness, because if you're seen as very joyful, very happy a lot of the time and not so cynical, people are like, what's wrong with you? Why
yeah,
aren't
there's
you,
almost like a suspiciousness
the mob right now, well, you know?
And here's the thing, dude, like 100%. And I can say I struggle with that because yeah. I'll be like cards on the table. Like I'll be vulnerable here. I will let you and all our listeners know. If I come across someone, especially, and this is like I'm confessing here, okay?
Okay.
Especially someone that's in ministry. Mm-hmm. If I come across a pastor who's been in ministry, right? Who's like that? Bubbly, like happy, right? Like I'm automatically suspicious of them. Okay. Automatically. Because in my head, I'm like, okay, either. And I'm not saying this is right. I'm just telling you where my mind automatically goes. And yeah. This is why I've been convicted of this. Either you're hiding something from me, right? You're lying about something and you're putting on a face, or you have not been through realistic ministry yet. Yeah. And you're still in the honeymoon phase, right? That's where my brain automatically goes.
Yeah.
But there is a third option. Mm-hmm. And I want there to be a third option in my head that, no, maybe this person is just so much more joyful than I am and so much more content than I am that you're seeing that manifest in their life. You know, that is the third option, you know? And,
yeah.
And I hardly ever consider that.
Yeah. I think also too, we find this sometimes in local churches to where if somebody isn't actively struggling with a certain sin, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Yeah. For
it
sure.
It kind of bleeds yeah. into that because
yeah.
I've been in
this stoicism, this spiritual stoicism, you know?
Yeah.
Like all of life must be hard, otherwise you're not living correctly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think there's a danger to that because you can start to you know, I experienced this under Mars Hill to where we were in certain groups called redemption groups. To where it was supposed to be a place where you would confess sin, you would seek and understand some better ways to tackle the things that were plaguing you.
Yeah.
As far as indwelling sin goes, or just even confessing sin, and then trying to work that out with a group of, I mean, at the time it was, you know, a group of men that I had around me. And you could see so quickly how guys were labeled something if they struggled with something. Mm. So there were some guys that were obviously single and really struggled with loneliness and really struggled with wanting to have a family and a wife and all these good things.
Sure.
And you could see how quickly that confession turned into, you must have a porn problem then. Sure. You must have this yeah. problem. It's you must have this go-to. Problem. And literally, like, you could see it. Like, these guys, when those accusations started to fly,
yeah.
you could see those guys literally felt like they were getting put up on a wall and getting just shot.
Well, yeah, because here you are confessing something that you are struggling with, and you're met with automatic, well, you must also be struggling with this.
You must like, have an idol. You must have an idol that you're worshiping.
Yeah, that's right? Bad shepherding. That's not how you respond to someone who's confessing something to you.
Yeah. So I can see. So that can sometimes, but that's very Pacific Northwest kind of culture, I think.
Yeah, very grunge.
I feel like if you're not with us in the misery,
yeah,
then there's something wrong with you. You're doing something weird that we don't trust. Mm-hmm. There's something nefarious about that. And so, I would say like if somebody is joyful, like, I don't know, try and learn from them.
Well,
like,
seriously,
try and do something to basically say, like, even just ask the question, like, how do you have joy right now? Because I don't know how to deal with these certain things mm-hmm. in life. I think it's more of an opportunity to start asking questions of that person and mm-hmm. maybe glean from them than just like accusing them or like, you know, starting to almost like condemn their joy for some reason. Right. So,
yeah. Yeah. Which again is, I think, the default of a lot of folks, you know, and a struggle that I definitely fall into, you know, cause I want that joy. I definitely do. And I do have it. Like, I'm not saying I'm a joyless person. Like, yeah. I think on the spectrum of reform dudes, I think I'm probably peppier than most.
Yeah.
but it's still something that, like, internally I look at and I say, wow, why did I respond that way? Why was cynicism the first thing that I went to instead of like you just said, like wanting to learn. Right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it, Jack, I think a lot of it really comes down to contentment. Like, just being content with who you are in Christ, being content with the things that the Lord has done for you and the things that he's given to you, you know? Because I mean, I think back to like people that I've interacted with, or even myself, right? Like comparison is a thief of joy. Right. Mm-hmm. It really is. And if you're constantly comparing your situation to others, you're not going to be content. There's not going to be joy there. If you're comparing like your pastor to other pastors, or a massive pet peeve of mine, I think I actually put this out on social media, comparing your pastor to celebrity pastors drives me up a wall. Like, it drives me crazy when people do that. Be like, oh, you need to be more like this person, or you need to do things more like this person. That's not what the Lord has called them to do. Yeah. Right? Like, he's your pastor. Right. Yeah. So instead of doing that, or being, you know, like one that I've struggled with before is like comparing my congregation to other congregations. Mm. Right? Be like, oh, we're struggling with this, but that church over there, they seem to have it all together. Like, I wish I could be like that church, right? Mm. And like, comparison in any form, comparison is the thief of joy. It's going to steal your contentment. It's going to make you frustrated. It's going to make you angry, right? And I think often when we find ourselves lacking joy, I think a lot of that can be linked to how content are we in this moment, right? Like, am I truly content with what the Lord has done for me, who he's made me to be, the skills that he's given me, the weaknesses that he's given me, the people that he's called me to shepherd, the people that he's called me to shepherd alongside, you know, the overall state of the life that I have. Can I say that I'm truly marked by contentment in those things? Or am I constantly looking for the next thing, the next fix? Am I constantly looking, seeing if the grass really is greener on the other side, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've known guys like that. Yeah. I've known guys that just church hop, you know, and that are in pastoral ministries and they church hop. Like, well, this one kind of didn't work out, so I'm going to go to the next one. Like, well, this one didn't really work out personality-wise, I'm going to go to the next one, right? And they're, you know, they've been in ministry as long as me, which is not long comparatively, and they're on church, you know, 6, 7, 8, and you're like, oh, my goodness gracious, what is going on?
Yeah.
Right? And it does cause me to wonder, and it causes me to wonder for my own life, like, what am I truly valuing when it comes to my local church? Can I truly say that my mind and my heart is marked by like searching for those evidences of grace versus evidences of honestly discontentment?
Yeah.
Right? Because those will always be there. Let's be honest. Like, it is a choice. It is a choice that you actively make. You can choose joy or you can choose discontentment, right? And I think I've been convicted that I truly want to be the guy that chooses joy over these things.
Yeah.
Because, dude, if we truly like take inventory, like, yeah, the world's a mess. The church struggles with stuff. There's always going to be things that bring us down and that we have to work through. But let's be honest. Life is good.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is king. He's on the throne. He loves us. He cares for us. He's given us everything that we need. Even through the hardships of ministry, the hardships of this Christian life, he proves faithful every single time, right? There's things to be joyful about.
Yeah.
And we got to make the choice and choose joy and look for those evidences of grace in your life because they're there. And I'd rather be a guy that does that and is known for doing that than the guy who's constantly cynical and taking almost pride in my cynicism because, well, I've been through things. So this is just me being battle hardened. It's like, no, it's you just kind of being a curmudgeon. Let's be honest. Like, you can be battle hardened and have gone through some real bad stuff and still be a joyful guy.
True.
You know, and I really want to be that. I really do. That's something that I want to continue to work toward. So, you know.
Yeah, it's very much like, I don't know, maybe it takes like the Christmas story or Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge kind of moment for people to come out of that cynicism.
Yeah.
To realize, oh, wow, there's this whole world to where I need to, I don't know, have a wake up call.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. But hey, maybe this podcast will be the you know, the ghost of Christmas past for some people, right?
Ghost of Christmas future.
Yeah, all of them together, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's evidences of grace all over. You just got to look for them and choose to live out of those, right? So join me in doing it. Like, we can hold each other accountable.
Josh, I'm going to make a very hard pivot.
Okay.
And I'm going to say one way you can start to enjoy stuff is through cigars.
Dude.
And I have a recommendation because my brother just dropped.
My man.
EP Korea.
You know?
EP
Korea. Oh, did they drop something new?
They dropped. So in their lines, they've usually had a very significant branding.
I'm looking this
like
up.
The Allegiance was one of like their really good cigars that I had. Now it's called their newest offering is called the Endure, which is a Cameroon wrapper.
The what is it?
Endure.
The Endure.
It's a
there it is.
Cameroon, Nicaraguan.
Dude.
Well, it's a Cameroon wrapper with like some Nicaraguan filler and binder. And then some Dominican Republic.
Oh man, I'm
sprinkled
right
in there
now.
Too. Apparently, it's good with
box press.
Yeah, there you go. Robusto and Toro. That's
I'm
the
staring at
sizes.
It. I think we need to dissect this on the podluck.
We might have to. I have not smoked this yet, so
I'm looking. There's a whole webpage on it.
Oh,
are you on the webpage right now? I'm staring. Beautiful webpage.
Yeah.
Points to EP Carrillo for a good website.
And
well, Jack,
medium,
it's a medium blend, which I'm kind of excited about. Well, Jack, how about this? How about we do this? So, people, obviously, Jack's right. One of the ways that you can enjoy this life that the Lord has given us is through the wonderful gift of all natural premium tobacco products.
True.
We're not talking that vape crap.
No. Nope.
We're not talking those cigarettes
blunts.
Where they load
them
blunts. We ain't talking pot. We ain't talking any of that junk. We're talking premium cigars as the some of the greats, the theological greats enjoyed. So go get yourself some cigars. We're going to talk about this on the podluck because I'm intrigued by this new release. But Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here?
Yeah. Yeah, if you appreciate, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's work at making the local church central to the believer's life, and especially, too, making the local church a kind of engine of and in a way of helping your cynicism, pushing you towards joy, you can follow us on the social media outlets to continue a conversation. You can direct message us about episode ideas, anything that you have that you would want to bring up that would keep this podcast going in the direction of making the local church central to the believer's life. You can follow us on Facebook, the Metaverse, if you will, the Instagram, goes well with chocolate or marshmallow. Or you could follow us also on the sociable formerly known as Twitter, X,
right,
if you will. All at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Like I said, you can drop us a direct message there. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us in other endeavors.
That's right. Well, there's multiple ways. You can head on over to YouTube if you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it. We do have a YouTube. Just search for the Reformatory Podcast. Give us a like. comment, subscribe, hit the little bell like for notifications, as the kids say. You can head on over to on Spotify or Apple. You can rate this podcast or review this podcast. We appreciate that. Let us know kind of maybe how you found the podcast or what you appreciate about it. That'd be really cool. Last but not least, we do have a Patreon. And for $5 a month, you could have exclusive content, bonus episodes every week. This main episode you get early. You get first access to any new merch that drops, video content that drops, obviously exclusive cigar talk. We're about to go drop some knowledge on the Patreon. And it's all yours for a mere fiver, a $5 a month cost. That is it. And if you do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening. We will catch you on the next ep of the Reformatory.